Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. Now, listeners, are you continually attracted to the wrong person? Or are you hesitant to jump back into the dating scene because your heart's been broken? Well, today's program is all about how to choose Mr. or Ms. Right. My guest today is Maria Agitidis. She is the founder of Agape Match, a New York City-based matchmaking company. Now, as a fourth-generation matchmaker and professional dating coach, she combines strong intuition with matchmaking methodology to leverage each client's unique attachment style and preferred love language. Maria and Agape Match have been featured in the press, including the New York Times, CNN, Esquire, Women's Health, Elle, and much more. To learn more about Maria and Agape Match, go to agapematch.com. And listeners, I have met Maria in person several times, and you are in for a real treat today. So welcome to the program, Maria. So nice to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome, welcome, as I always say. Now, before we talk about how to choose Mr. and Ms. Right, tell us about your journey to become a fourth generation matchmaker, and who else in your family is or was a matchmaker?
So, yeah, I suppose the origin story is genetic, which is the short story. Like my grandmother, her mother and her grandmother were all matchmakers. And my sister's also a matchmaker that works at Agape Match with me, along with the rest of our team. The long story, of course, though, is that I just have that kind of personality where I'm able to create really quick rapport with people and they just tell me all of their secrets. And because I'm a person who is more solution oriented, somehow this got redirected towards love and dating and compatibility. And 11 years later, here we are today.
So 11 years. And Agape Match, why the name Agape? I mean, I can assume it's, you know, Greek for love, but how did you decide to name it that?
I was really young when I started my company. I was 23 and I just needed a name quickly because I was all of a sudden getting clients. This is a very organic career that I fell into. I thought I was going to become a diplomat. And I just figured, okay, you know, Greek people have thousands of phrases for love and they have five core words for love. And the big one is agape. And, you know, so that was just like, all right, we'll just call it Agape Match and, you know, move on.
I love it. Yeah, I love
that. Become its own brand.
and a great brand at that. So, Maria, how are you unique or different from other matchmakers?
Well, there's two kinds of matchmakers, I suppose, right? So the difference between me and my grandparents is that, you know, my grandparents were setting up people to get married within 2 weeks. Or 3 months or whatever. But, you know, in today's world, that does not happen, at least not in America. And my job primarily revolves around setting up first and second dates. And I, you know, pray to God that those people end up dating and eventually get married and then invite them to the wedding. Mm-hmm. And what makes me unique among modern matchmaking as it is that I do take modern approach to matchmaking. So I am a big fan of nuance and learning more about how people decide and choose and creating a brand that feels comfortable and that attracts the kind of people that I want to work with. And if you build a brand around the people that you actually want to work with, then you can build a really big database of people that you communicate well with. And this way, when your client comes in to be matched, You know, I have thousands upon thousands of people to choose from, and my job just becomes so much easier because not only am I understanding from a quantitative perspective of like what my client wants, but I'm able to interview people based on a qualitative basis and learning more about, you know, their personality, their temperament, and you know, how they problem solve. And I think these are pretty big criteria in terms of compatibility and what we would use in our matchmaking methodology and
That's
scoring
great. And well, and
stuff.
you also say though that you use modern relationship psychology in your
Right.
matchmaking, right? And I know that you use a lot of science of relationships as well in the matchmaking and coaching that you do.
Correct. Yeah. So I don't like to, as much as intuition does bring, as much as intuition does influence how we match someone, like in what order we send them their matches, we do try to take a science-based approach each time. You know, we know what works in the long term. Sometimes our clients come in and the stuff that they're asking for, it's like as if they're asking for the same person they dated in the past, but with just a different name. And if that person didn't work in the past, they're definitely not going to work again in the future. So as a matchmaker, yes, my job is obviously to set you up with someone who you want to meet. But at the same time, I'm a professional. I've been in this industry for 11 years, and collectively with in my entire staff, we have over 30 years of experience. We've interviewed more than 15,000 people. I might know something a little more than you in terms of what's going to work long term. You know,
You might. You
sometimes, and
actually
sometimes it's
might.
like about putting into perspective with some clients because, you know, they come in and they'll say blah, 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 and I'll ask back. You know, is that or are those the criteria you're looking for in the future mother of your child or the future father of your child? Is this what's important? Because sometimes people don't frame it in what's at stake here.
And do you think that many singles, or in your experience, most of the singles that you've worked with aren't able to actually know who the right person is or who to choose?
Very rarely do they understand,
And why do you
and
think that
that's.
is? Why do you think?
Well, you know, dating is a very new concept just in general. People used to be courted and then they would get married in the 40s, you know, prior to the 1950s in America. And even up until like the 1970s or 80s, you would still date within your own community or your own neighborhood. Or maybe if you went away to college, you would meet someone that you'd end up marrying in college. And so the value set that exists when you date someone who's within your community or your own established social network, you don't have to learn about it, right? You already know what the value set is. And so now you just have to decide if your temperaments are compatible for a long-term success. And dating has not only is dating new in the last, you know, 70 years, but it's also shifted dramatically in the last 20 years, and then again in the last 6 years. So in the last 20 years, when online dating was put in, you know, became live, that changed how people search. So now you weren't searching based on established networks, like, you know, my husband is friends with a friend of a friend, so I have someone to vouch for them. Now you have someone using a search query bar and putting in their zip code and the age range that they want to date in, and maybe the religion. And then you shift now to 2013, end of 2013, when Tinder comes out with that quick hot or not model, where you're just swiping really quick from a gut instinct. So now your people reject matches based on arbitrary information. Like, you know, maybe you are a Knicks fan and that person was wearing a Nets hat. So you just swipe left. And it's like, well, that's not a thing. That's not what dating is supposed to be based on. So there's been some really dramatic shifts in dating. And so because of those shifts, the way people pick spouses, and we're talking about now two generations, millennials and post-millennials, who only know dating in this way. They've never dated without social media or the online world or a search bar. So the way they measure compatibility is just, it's basically on steroids. It's like, you know, it's not what I would say is healthy. So most people that come in, I would say 19 out of 20, not even 9 out of 10, It's even more rare that someone can come in and be able to articulate, not only what are they looking for, but what works for a long-term relationship. So it's my responsibility then to not only ask them the questions that I need to ask of, like, what are you attracted to, but understand their background and their dating history and their parents and what brought them to my office today and what are their ultimate relationship goals. And using all this information, I can then teach them, here's why I would set you up with this person, and here's why I would set you up with that person. Because then, if you can help someone understand, your temperament is this, or your first relationships in high school or in college, if you even had any, have affected you in this way. And I want to say it with someone who is a little bit more self-confident with their background, then, you can kind of experiment and see what works best. And typically, most of our clients do enter relationships by their third or fourth match. So, and that also matters in terms of match order. So sometimes I'll meet someone who I feel like, okay, this person is probably going to marry my client, but I hold off on them. Because sometimes the way people's brains are now designed with fear of missing out, FOMO, you don't want to set them up with the best person on the first try. Not all clients. Some clients you absolutely do. But sometimes you just have to be more careful because they can meet someone who's wonderful through you. And because it's a better dating experience than they've ever had before, they'll come back and say, I had a great time, but who else do you have? It's like, well, wait a second. I need you to
Right.
keep
Wait
meeting
a
this
minute.
person.
So wait a minute. I have to go
Yeah.
back, Marie, because you mentioned so
Sorry. I
many
just like
interesting things.
monologues. I'm so sorry.
No, it's great. I mean, first, the notion that dating has changed and that being the answer for why people don't really know how to choose the best Mr. or Ms. Right is fascinating because they don't know their goals, because they don't know their values. And 2, 3 decades before people, or 3, 4 decades before now, people were choosing in their community. So that's fascinating. Now, do you teach everyone that you see about how to choose better or the right reasons to pick someone?
No. Sometimes you just have to do it for them. So, in my office, we have two different programs. One, we obviously have a matchmaking program, and that's specifically designed mostly for men. Women can join our database for free and be considered as a potential match. So with men, I don't sit there and teach them compatibility unless I have to, like unless we need to have a conversation after a date. Typically, I just take it into my own hands, and it's like, okay, I've learned this much about my client, and they've gone on dates, so I'm receiving feedback now from the women as well, which really completes like the dating profile that I need to understand like how to get this client into a relationship. And then using that information, I'll be able to calibrate the search and make a better match in the next round. And sometimes, the client will, it's like funny, like one of my clients just emailed me about how great the date was. And I said, what was great about it? And he said, it's the intangible quality that I can't even describe. And I was just like, all right, like I can describe it for you. It was basically you found familiarity with the person opposite you at the table. You probably sat next to each other. Like there's like a whole formula here that he just isn't aware of. It's just in my hands.
And so if you
Now
were to
with
tell
women,
listeners,
yeah.
no, let's
Well,
just, if listeners are trying to figure out themselves, they're single, what are some
right.
strategies that you would tell them how to choose better, how to
Sure.
choose the perfect Mr. or Ms. Right?
Well, sometimes it's not even about choosing. It's also about increasing the opportunities that you are able to date. So I
For
think there's a
example.
lot, yeah. So I think there's a lot of pressure on a first date. And the purpose of a first date is just to go on a second date. That's all it is. And the only way to go on a second date is if you just create a little bit of sexual tension during the first date. And it's very simple. As you're asking questions and you laugh, maybe your hand touches his hand by accident, quote unquote. The best way is to sit next to each other or sit perpendicular to each other. Like if I were going on a first date, I would go to a first date at a cocktail bar. I would sit by the bar, not at my own table, and I would sit side by side. Because when you sit side by side, you don't have an opportunity for those awkward silences. You're already
Because you.
becoming chummy. Well, it's because we feel more comfortable with people sitting next to us.
And
When
how
you
do
sit
your
across from
clients react
someone,
to that, by the way, Maria? I mean, when you tell your clients to sit next to one another, and maybe not at the bar, but like in a booth or something, how do they respond? What do they
So
say?
I try to find, because we set up their dates, I try to find places that have couches, like
Oh,
speakeasies. So
okay.
it's not like they're in a booth and that looks like super awkward. It's like, oh my God, I just met you, get away from me. If you're at a speakeasy, there's usually couches and you have to sit on a couch together. You don't have a choice. So I think those are way more effective into getting someone on a second date.
And
So you
so
go
this is
back to
an
your original question on,
opportunity. This is an
yes.
opportunity. Creating sexual tension on your first date by sitting next to one another, or by touching your hair, or touching his arm, or him touching her arm. You create an opportunity to have the second date. And so that's one of the
Right, because it doesn't
strategies.
matter how well you choose if you're not going on dates. Like, you can read all of the books in the world that tell you more about different personality types or attachment styles or whatever. But if you're not using your first date as an opportunity to practice to get to a second date, it doesn't matter if you meet the right person. You're just not going to go back out again.
Okay, very good. Okay, another strategy. Love that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
So I would say if you're single and you're listening to this, discover all of the great speakeasies in your town or city and head on over there. And
For
if
your
there's no
first dates,
speakeasies, go to a
right?
bar. Yeah, for first dates, I think that's a great place. And then the second date should always be an activity. So you can walk around a park, and then go to a nearby cafe or, place to eat. You can go hiking, you can go rock climbing, golfing. I really like the place Topgolf because it's kind of competitive. Essentially, you want some adrenaline coming in a little bit on the second date, but also showing, I'm comfortable with this person. I can be friends with this person, but also establish a relationship. And now I'm just telling you what's worked for my clients to get them into a relationship. Right? I'm sure other people have different methods, but this has worked for us.
And so what do you tell your clients to look for after they've had, let's say, the first, second, maybe even third date about how to pick the right person? I mean, is this person right for me? Because you said most people don't
Right.
know who's right and they're attracted to the wrong people or they're picking people for the wrong reasons.
So here's, I think the real question is like, when since. Right. So I'm trying to, I know what I want to say, but I'm trying to figure out how to say it. I think sex is in the way when you start dating someone because you want to know what they look like naked. There's no other way to go around this. And you want to see if you have sexual chemistry. And that's a completely understandable, inquisitive nature that we have when we're dating. What I would say is to see if you're choosing better, you need to see the full range of emotions before you have sex. Because when you have sex, you get completely blinded by all of the hormones and chemistry running around your bloodstream that is specifically designed, especially for women, to just blind them from all the red flags that could be showing up. So what I would tell you is if you are after the first or second date, to see if you've chosen correctly, look at how they deal with stress or how they deal with disappointment. If your plans have to change because someone's sick. How do they react to that? If they have to cancel because work is running late, do they immediately reschedule with you or do they leave it up in the air? Because these are also behavioral anecdotes that can tell you a lot about someone's personality in terms of are they reliable? Are they a strong communicator? Are they a fair fighter? It's perfectly acceptable for all couples to fight. In fact, that's extremely healthy. That couples do fight, but do you fight fairly? I think these are reasonable things that you can learn while you're dating the first month.
I like that a lot. It's so interesting, Maria, because I tell people the same kind of thing. How
Yeah.
does this person handle conflict or stress? How do they treat the server? Or if you're in a traffic jam and somebody, cuts in front of you and you're in the car, what do they say to that person? Those are all indications for how they will deal with stress and conflict in the future. So to look at that,
Right.
I love that. Now, what do you tell people who say to you, and we only have a few minutes left. What do you, that, you know, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen. So, you know, I shouldn't be doing too much or looking for too much because relationships just happen. And I'm sure you get those kinds of singles. What do you say to that person?
Well, it's true. When you know, you know. I will give people that, the benefit of that, fine. But you need to create opportunities. No one is going to show up at your door unless you are the UPS guy and you want to date the UPS guy, right? That's not something that's happening. And so what I usually hear in what you're describing is, like, sometimes people will say, well, I don't really need to work hard on it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Yeah, but you still have to make yourself available and you still have to make yourself likable, because if you're not likable, then there's a higher chance that no one's going to want to go out with you.
And do you tell your clients to dress up and to put their best foot forward, so to speak, even though they might not dress up every day?
Absolutely. So for men, I always say dark jeans with nice shoes and like a button up, or, you know, a polo or a shirt, you know, depending on where you're going, a shirt. I always say a button up shirt. You can't go wrong with that, especially if it's like solid colored with dark jeans, a nice belt that matches your shoes. Like, you really can't go wrong with that. With women, I really want women to feel comfortable. A first date is not the place to wear a new dress, because you might feel uncomfortable and you don't want to be uncomfortable on a first date. Women really don't remember maybe what you do for a living or where you went to school, but they always remember how you made them feel and how you felt. And if you felt uncomfortable, he picks up on that and then he'll feel uncomfortable. So, I do always tell women, though, if your ears are pierced, you should always wear earrings. If you like lipstick, you should always wear, you know, some lipstick, and, keep your hair down. I don't care about if it's curly or straight, but, you know, this is just, I think earrings and lipstick kind of just frame the face a little bit, for a date. And, like I said before, just being comfortable. I mean, don't wear yoga pants and sneakers on a date. If you want to wear trousers, then wear nice jeans and heels, or you can wear, a wrap dress. I love wrap dresses because they tend to be long to the knee and like they show some curves, even if you don't have them. So it's, I think it's just, you know, dating, so much about a first date is about branding. So it's like you're branding yourself. You know, they can get to know who the real you is, you know, after the third or fourth date. But right now you're trying to sell a product.
Right. Exactly. And the first impressions are important because they last and they influenced what people see for the second date and going on.
Men have decided if they're going to go on a second date within the first 15 seconds of meeting you.
Wow.
15 seconds, listeners.
That's all you have.
That is super.
When you walk in through the door, you know, chin up, smile, and give a warm squeeze as you're shaking his hand. I don't, or like a, you know, a hug. I don't know. But women have a really small window, because then after that, you know, if he says, yes, I'm attracted to her, if the date goes well, he's going to ask you on a second date.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I love your notion. I love your notion, Maria, about creating opportunities, increasing those opportunities, and really what these dates are in terms of the first date and the second date and the goal. Thank you so much. Listeners, these were great strategies, great ideas. Thank you so much for joining us, Maria. I love talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Maria, an award-winning matchmaker with a global reputation, or Agape Match, go to agapematch.com. And that's agapematch.com.
And you can if I can interject, you can also follow me on Instagram at Matchmaker Maria. I answer questions every Wednesday.
Wow, excellent. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.